And welcome in everybody to today's Talk of Champions. I'm Brad Logan. He is Zach Berry. He has joined us, and Zach, it's been a wild time in regards to Ole Miss recruiting as of late. You and I kind of exchanged messages. First of all, thanks for jumping on today.
Yeah, man, absolutely. How we doing?
Man, doing good. Just received word. I don't think it happened very soon. Ole Miss muddied the waters with Andy from Western Louisiana. We know that commitment has been made public, a four-star. Rebels lose out on him, but boy, they've won a lot of other battles over the last couple of weeks. Appreciate you jumping on. That's really just kind of the freshest news before we get to a lot of Ole Miss recruiting.
Yeah, I don't think anybody truly expected Jay Nanding to commit to Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss made it a tougher decision than he might have thought it would have been. But, yeah, legacy, gonna go play with his brother. You know, Ruston, Louisiana, it's obviously a school that's a place where LSU recruits well. They pick up a second commit there as Ahmad Hudson, the tight end, is also committed to LSU. So I think he really enjoyed his OV. He liked the Ole Miss staff, but just the family pull to stay in Baton Rouge. I'm sure his mom appreciates that, so she won't have to double dip on Saturdays.
But Ole Miss has done it quite well, and we'll get to some of those recruiting stories as Zach does a great job with the Ole Miss Spirits. You see that QR code right above Zach's head. You can join today for $1. Ton of content going on right now. It may be July, maybe the dog days of summer, but Ole Miss Sports is wide open, specifically with recruiting. You can join omspirits.com. That's an affiliate of On3. Thankful for all of our sponsors that help make the Talk of Champions come to you every single day. Thank you to everybody in the chat that's been jumping on. We appreciate it very much. Zach, right now, we'll get to the state of Mississippi. We'll get to all the recruits that Ole Miss is still kind of – they've got committed. But is there anybody out there that you're kind of eyeing before we get into everybody that they've already got committed that Ole Miss could see, maybe on the outside looking in, or someone that Ole Miss may have a shot at down the road?
I think right now the focus is going to tighten a little bit. I think the priorities – they're going to narrow the scope a little bit. I think for the most part, you're probably going to see a lot of flip attempts down the stretch. I think Ole Miss probably adds one to two more uncommitted prospects in this 27 class. But I think right now you're looking at a staff that is going to really prioritize guys that are committed elsewhere that they feel have a really good relationship with. Both the player and the family. And I think that's going to be kind of what you're going to be seeing. I know that's not what everybody wants to hear. It's not a sexy thing to talk about in recruiting, but you've got a bulk of the class that's already, you know, committed. So I think now you're just going to prioritize those game day visits and then getting down into November, December, when guys are trying to make those final decisions before signing. Ole Miss is going to look to make a couple moves.
I was looking earlier today, Zach, and you may correct me if I'm wrong. Is Ole Miss up to 14 in the rankings right now?
Yeah, if I pull it up in real time as we record this, I believe they're still top 15. Okay. I think they're in the top 10 in terms of four-star commits. So they've got a pretty good pace set right now on blue chips. But right now Ole Miss is 14 with 21 commits. And I think that there could be another, but I mean, 14 four stars, Brad, it's the most in the modern day of recruiting. It's the most I can remember since kind of starting to follow this seriously before I got into the industry about 2011, 2012, 2010. It was around that time when I started to pay attention. But 14 is a lot, and I think that what Pete Golding and his staff have done this spring and this summer is going to really, really be a huge block to build on to finish this class and to move on to 28.
I don't think anybody that's followed Ole Miss recruiting or really recruiting in the Southeastern Conference, it's become more evident that this particular coaching staff's philosophy on recruiting is night and day from the previous staff led by Lane Kiffin. And I guess mainly, Zach, if you look at what Lane, Randall Joyner, Austin Thomas, and this staff is doing versus the other, they're obviously recruiting high school players much, much more. Is this a situation to where, and I'm not by any means saying that, that Ole Miss is Georgia and Kirby Smart, but it feels like this is much more under the mold of a Kirby Smart recruiting the high school ranks, hopefully having players for a couple of years versus having the one and done. Is that pretty safe to say?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's multiple ways to do it. There's different strategies, different ways to build a roster. We saw it for 6 years in Oxford. Lane Kiffin mostly built around the portal. That was how he and Billy Glasscock liked to operate. And then now you're seeing a complete 180 where Pete Golding and Austin Thomas and Kelvin Bolden, Dante Moncrief, the rest of that recruiting staff, they're going, you know, the opposite way. They're going high school first, especially in the trenches. I wrote about that, I guess it was a couple of years now, feels forever ago, but the importance of building the offensive line through the high school ranks. You look at, I guess it was a couple, I think it was 2 years ago, the Joe Moore Award for offensive line, best offensive line in the country. They were all pretty much built through the high school ranks. I think those positions are vital, not only to see success on Saturdays, but to build a roster. And I think Ole Miss is doing just that with the high-end prospects they're getting, Antonio Berry, Antonio Kiefer, and then you flip over to defense. I mean, what can you say about Randall Joyner? I mean, Mitchell Turner, Ben Jarvis Shoemaker, Keyson Taylor, Antoine Jackson, Jamarcus Pittman. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's a deep and talented class, and I think you're going to continue to see this trend every cycle with Pete Golding.
When you look at this particular roster and kind of following up on that point, and obviously the proof will be in the pudding, Zach, and we're not Nostradamus. If we were, we would be probably doing a lot more than this podcast on a July afternoon. But in your opinion, with Ole Miss coming off, I would argue it's the most success maybe in the history of the program under Lane Kiffin, the way that he recruited the portal so well and the way the collective kind of backed Lane and had the best rosters and winning all those games. When you deviate away from that, are you at all concerned of the philosophy of recruiting changing and maybe not being as successful as Ole Miss was under Lane? Or do you think that Pete saw this under Saban and working with Kirby Smart, he saw that you kind of build up from the high school ranks, or is it maybe a collection of both?
I think it's a collection of both. I mean, you're going to have to do both, I think, if you're Ole Miss especially, because you know, I don't think you're doing what the Texases, the Ohio States, you're spending big time money. I think Ole Miss has shown that it's willing to allocate resources for both. And I think you're going to have holes. You're going to have spots where you need an instant impact guy, an older, experienced guy. So you're always going to operate in the portal. But I do think that this class, and it kind of works out well, Brad, with the in-state, you know, crop of players in 2027. They are all, you know, really talented. So it helps that they're right there down the road, but it's not going to be like that every cycle. So the staff is going to continue to recruit nationally, and they're going to continue to put an emphasis on, hey, if you're worthy of playing for Ole Miss in terms of, you know, scouting, evaluating, if this staff thinks that you're capable of making a difference at Ole Miss, and it just so happens that you're in the state of Mississippi, then Ole Miss wants to go get you. So, you know, it wasn't a couple weeks ago we were talking about Ole Miss maybe having a clean sweep of the top five. That hasn't been done in a long time in the state of Mississippi, because you share the state with another SEC program. So I do think the comparison to Kirby is fair because of, you know, working under Saban and doing it that way. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that Saban left the game of college football around the time the portal and NIL became a big deal. You know, he very clearly liked to operate the old school way, building through high school, getting depth, and developing guys over a couple years and then having them ready to make a difference.
As we see on the screen, highlights from that Sugar Bowl and a couple of questions that come from that. Number one, you kind of answered that in regards to the way Kirby built his roster at Georgia. But I think the really pressing question, Zach, is Ole Miss is on a heater, for the lack of a better word, on the recruiting trail. How much of that heater has to do with the success Ole Miss had last year in the college football playoff?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously you look at the two most important offensive players on the team were from the portal. Now, Kevon, you know, he was barely a year at Missouri. Ole Miss finished a close second for him out of high school. So not as, you know, traditional of a transfer where you're looking at a junior or senior that's trying to go make a difference somewhere in his draft year. Trinidad, obviously coming from the Division II ranks, probably the best story in college football, I thought, last year, even though Indiana was obviously the national champions, undefeated. I think that what Chambliss was able to do, being thrust into the starting role, and, you know, he arrived in May and was able to pick up where Austin Simmons and Ole Miss left off in Kentucky, got the win, and then just kind of never looked back. So the emphasis on the portal, you look at defense this year, I think Ole Miss obviously – I think hit it really big in the portal at the linebacker spot. I mean, I think Ole Miss is going to have one of the better linebacker cores in the entire country. I think people are kind of sleeping on Keaton Thomas. I know, you know, Luke Farrelly made all the headlines with all the Clemson drama, but I think Ole Miss thinks Keaton Thomas is going to be a massive difference maker alongside Farrelly and the other linebackers coming back. So you look at the secondary, Brad. I'm just kind of running through the roster here. You know, Ole Miss upgraded in a big way in the secondary, just adding those experienced guys that have come from Power Four programs, like a Janelle Aguero from Georgia. You know, you look at like a Sharif Denson from Florida, guys that played a lot of snaps in a lot of important games for some Power Four programs. So you're always going to pick your spots and pick your battles. But, you know, I think the battling, going toe-to-toe for a – instant impact offensive lineman in the portal, that's a losing battle 9 times out of 10. I think it's just it's expensive. You're going against everybody. It's not like, you know, recruiting where the pool is much larger, where you can look across the country. You know, in the portal, you know, it's condensed by a lot, and you're having to compete with, you know, 50, 60 other programs that want to get an offensive tackle. So I think I like the direction it's going with, hey, especially in the trenches, we're going to develop guys. And then, you know, we might pick and choose in the portal for the secondary or for linebacker. But, you know, this class, Brad, is really balanced. And, you know, it's just missing a couple pieces on offense. But it's a really strong group so far.
I want to stay on the roster for a moment before we get to recruiting. Before we get there, thanks to Zach Berry. Zach does a terrific job covering recruiting, not only for Ole Miss, but all across the On3 network. Stay locked in on X at @Zach_Berry. You can follow all of his content at the Ole Miss Spirit. That's onspirit.com. It's an affiliate of On3. You can stay locked in at onspirit.com for $1. That's where you get Ben Garrett. You also get Zach Thompson. You get a ton of people commenting on the message board. And, of course, you get Chuck Roundsville. And I want to kind of stay on this year's roster briefly, if we could, Zach. The offensive line, the development there has been good. Bryson Sanders is a name that I interviewed a couple of years ago, and he's like, Brad, I just want to start, and I want to be a big part of this offense. He's there. There are some transfer pieces, specifically Delano Townsend at left guard and Patrick Kudus at right guard. But they are the anchor on that offensive front. I do think there is a cause of concern with Kerryus Kern, the transfer out of LSU, having some issues. Enoch Wangoy is someone that could be penciled in. But Terrence Davis right now appears to be looking at that left tackle spot. What are your thoughts about the roster specifically in regards to the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have a cornerstone, a locker room guy. And Bryson Sanders, I mean, cliche for a center to be the quarterback of the offensive line, but he is. He waited his turn. He was patient. He could have gone somewhere, Brad. I mean, we talked about that on the show before. He had opportunities to leave. And, you know, I followed his high school career closely, being here in Nashville, and he was close by in Chattanooga. He never wavered in his recruitment. He believes in what John Garrison does. And, you know, he was patient, and now he gets to lead this offensive line for another year. I think the interior of this line coming back is what's so important. I think that's – I don't understand. There are some people, in my opinion, sleeping on this Ole Miss team. I think a lot of people are putting way too much into, you know, Lane Kiffin leaving, Charlie Weiss Jr. leaving. You know, those are pieces that are going to be – you know, you probably can't replicate. And that's fine. That doesn't mean you're not going to be successful. But it's a big loss, but you're still returning, in my opinion, the best quarterback running back combo in the country. I think those two are a huge part of this offense. But before you get to the other pieces, it all starts up front. I think Terrence Davis is a huge piece of this year's line. He's been a huge piece of the recruiting pitch, Brad. I mean, he's put guys through individual workouts. Both four-star tackles Ole Miss has committed right now. Not only were on a visit with Terrence Davis, you know, hosted by him, but he went through an individual workout with both of them. I think you're going to have Tommy Kinsler is going to be someone that I think is going to surprise a lot of people. He was someone that was in line to start for Miami, and he chose to get in the portal and bet on himself and go somewhere else. I think him, and then you mentioned Wango, who's kind of a lottery ticket, just a freak athlete who, you know, is built like an NFL offensive tackle. So I think the staff has been a little surprised by him in a good way in spring workouts, that he looks, I think, a lot less of a project than I think they probably thought. I don't have that source or anything. It's just my opinion, because I think Wango, being a guy that hasn't played a lot of organized football, but is just a mammoth of a person, I think he was surprising when he got to campus, and I think they like what they've got with him. But I think the offensive line is going to be fine, Brad. Keewon Lacy is going to fix a lot of issues.
That's a good point.
Trinidad Chambliss is gonna fix a lot of the issues. I think the tight end room, I mean, you got Luke Haas, who's finally healthy. I think that duo with him and Caleb Odom, who is beefed up, now close to 240, 245, a kid that has all the makings of being a difference maker at tight end, those two. I think this offense is going to – I'm not going to say surprise people, because people know how good Chambliss and Lacy are. Deuce Alexander, I think, does not get enough credit for being a guy that would make plays. When his number was called last year, Brad, he made plays. I think he's going to be a leader in that wide receiver room. I think that was a big part of him staying at Ole Miss. I think he takes pride in being the leader, wearing that number one jersey. That's not lost on him, the importance of that. And then, you know, the rest of that room, I think, is gonna really start to catch its stride. I mean, you remember last year, Brad, Deshaun Stribling was you know, I'm not gonna say he was lost in the offense, but he didn't really get going until that Georgia game, when he had that long catch and run and a couple of really nice catches. I mean, that was when the turning point for him. And so I think you're probably gonna see that with some guys this year in the wide receiver room. And that's okay, because there are plenty of other pieces on that offense.
You know, that was kind of where I was going next. But before we get too far down the road, I think everybody, in a good way, Diego Pounds really turned a new leaf after being injured and came in and was really, really good on that offensive front. As we watched the highlights here, he did such a good job against Georgia, against Miami. And on the flip side, Jaden Williams was started as a true freshman, as you know. It kind of went in the doghouse for a little bit and then finished his career at Ole Miss as a really good offensive lineman. And then you lose Devin Harper to LSU in the transfer portal. I guess the only question I have, what do you think about Connor Howes? Is that someone, the sophomore, that could possibly see some action? Because obviously I'm with you. I think the offensive line is going to be okay, because I think a lot of that is Trinidad Chambliss and Keewon Lacy make the offensive line much better than maybe they are. But is this a situation of where depth becomes an issue and maybe you can lean on a Connor Howes a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think for Ole Miss, this is a program now that is, you know, building a roster and training and preparing for a season of 15, 16 games. This is not, you know, hey, we're going to play 12 and then we're going to get 13, you know, if we're lucky. I mean, this is a team that is preparing for another college football playoff run. So depth is huge. I think last year, especially on the defensive line, in that Miami game, you saw some fatigue setting in. You know, Xavier Harris was completely gassed by the end of that one. He could hardly get in a stance. And I think that Ole Miss saw that. They noticed it. And, you know, kind of, you know, eerily similar to that Georgia game a couple years ago in Athens, when Ole Miss was just completely outclassed. And Kiffin kind of had that realization of, hey, we got to change some things. So I think Ole Miss did that on the defensive line. They got, in my opinion, all due respect to the guys on last year's team, but I think they got a little bit more athletic, and I think they're going to really benefit from that, having some different kinds of guys on the edge. Guys like a Jonathan Maldonado, I think, is going to be a pleasant surprise for fans this year. And I think that, that athleticism and that quick twitch was missing last year, and you're building around a core of Mississippi guys with Dan Brown, Cam Franklin, and William Echols, who I think has a real opportunity to be the best defensive lineman to come out of Ole Miss kind of in the modern era.
If you look at that defensive front, and by the way, 14 of the 20 commitments are either offense or defensive linemen. That just goes to show you, as Zach pointed out, Ole Miss is really leaning heavily into the trenches when it comes to building a foundation for the team in the upcoming years. I want to look at that defensive front, Zach. Going into this season, there are a lot of unanswered questions, but there are a lot of, I guess you could say, exciting questions to be answered. I think one of them is none other than Jaheim Otis, the redshirt sophomore, the transfer out of Columbia, Mississippi, or prep to Columbia, Mississippi High School. A bit of a journeyman with Alabama, Colorado, and now he's back, what we like to say, home at Ole Miss. Between he and Jordan Renaud, the redshirt junior transfer, I think if those two players are healthy and play up to their potential, Ole Miss could have one of the best defensive fronts in the SEC. You talked about a moment ago, Makai Barreau, Will Echols, Perkins off the edge, Cam Franklin, Maldonado, and then Jam Brown. It's a really solid group there that Ole Miss can kind of build upon.
Yeah, it's not a bad problem to have. I mean, I think a lot of people forget that Jam Brown was a freshman All-American. He kind of gets lost in the shuffle now with just how good William Echols has become. I think Cam Franklin really turned a corner and kind of came into his own towards the end of last year. I think those two guys, along with Brown, and then all the transfers that you mentioned, I think even without the transfers, Brad, I think Ole Miss was probably had a legitimate case for the best defensive line in the SEC. Now, I think if they hit on these transfers, this is going to be a unit that you're going to lean on once again. And it's going to be key for Ole Miss in some stretches this year to get back to that college football playoff with some good line play.
Who are some unusual suspects that you're excited about seeing when Ole Miss plays Louisville in a couple of months in Nashville? Obviously not named Cam Franklin or Will Echols or Sundarin Perkins. Who are some names that you're excited about seeing?
For me, I think Jonte Cook jumps out. He was a guy that Ole Miss really wanted out of high school. I think he really wanted to go to Ole Miss. I think in hindsight, he probably would have picked Ole Miss. I think for him, it was one of those, like, just needed a change of scenery, get out of the state of Texas, kind of find himself, if you will. I think, you know, going to Syracuse was good for him. I think it kind of humbled him a little bit, and he worked hard, and now he's playing back in, you know, the limelight of a Power Four school, all due respect to the Orange. But I think he's going to be a guy that can, you know, I'm not going to say Elijah Moore because I think he's a little different than Elijah, but that kind of impact in the slot, I'm excited to see him. I think JT Lindsey is someone we've talked about him plenty, but, You know, essentially a true freshman. He didn't play at LSU. He's someone that I think is going to really turn some heads. He's going to be important this year. You notice how Ole Miss went to the portal and got some running backs. I think that's obviously by design, Brad, to keep some tread on the tires for Kiwan and, you know, a little change of pace too with Lindsey. I think he's going to be someone that is going to remind you of some of the smaller backs in recent Ole Miss history with, you know, Jalen Walton, Jeff Scott, you know, Jerry Neely, those type of guys that can really pick them up and put them down. Those two are the ones that jump out to me. And then I'll go at the second level here. I'm excited to see Keaton Thomas. He seems like somebody that is incredibly motivated. He has that right mindset that you want in a guy to lead the defense. And I'm excited to see what he looks like in the middle of a Pete Golden defense.
We haven't talked a lot, by the way, before we get too far down the road. At wide receiver, I don't think people I'm raising my hand, and I think I do now, just realize just how good Trey Wallace along with Deshaun Stribling were down the stretch for Ole Miss. We talked a little bit about the wide receiver room. Do you feel like Ole Miss has tooled enough to grab some of those receptions that those two guys have? Because they made the plays down the stretch for Ole Miss. And to your point, to what Pete said during the spring, to be fair, nobody knew who Deshaun Stribling was or Trey Wallace was at this point last year either. So I think there's a lot of that at play. What do you think about the wide receiver room?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Georgia people and I talked to Miami people after each game. And after the Sugar Bowl, you know, Georgia, the people that I talked to were just kind of like, hey, we knew he was getting the ball. We were just trying to figure out a way to stop it. I think that was very underrated for Stribling, was just the usage of the body and how good he was to be able to get open. I mean, that's kind of the something that you either have or you don't, in my opinion, as a wide receiver. It's hard to teach that. It's a little bit of, you know, this innate ability to, you know, position your body, slide in, you know, either behind or in front. It's a thing that you really can't teach. And I mean, it came up on that third down in the Georgia game. And then he damn near got Ole Miss to the national championship game. He was a couple fingernails shy of pulling a ball in the end zone to win it. I think this room is going to obviously look different with those two guys gone. But I think Deuce Alexander is ready to take on a leadership role. And then Jonte Cook as well. I think those two guys are going to be big for you. And I mentioned the tight ends already. I think that's going to be something that you're going to see that's a huge part of this offense. They're going to go quick. And when you go quick, you get people hands on hips, doubled over. There's not a worse dagger than an athletic tight end making a play over the middle to, you know, move the chains, get you into the red zone, and then just peppering people with that, with athletes on the outside, and then you can just hand it to number five. So I'm excited to see what John David Baker has in store for this offense this year, because he's familiar with the personnel. He's familiar with what Ole Miss wants to do. And he's got a lot of fun toys to play with in 2026.
Great question. Exactly where I was going here. Doug Miller points out that Jay Crawford, to me, seems like somebody to watch. We know what we have with Braxton and Kite. If Crawford is what we expect, we'll be able to stack the box a lot and let those linebackers eat. Yeah. It's a really good question, and I was actually headed to the defensive backfield. Thanks, Doug, for the question. What are your thoughts right now on that defensive backfield? I think, Zach, on paper, best defensive backfield I've seen in quite some time at Ole Miss.
Yeah, a couple years ago, Trey Amos was a guy that shut down half the field. You know, he's now playing on Sundays, so there's a reason for that. I think Ole Miss is looking to get back to that where they can – you know, kind of that old school, you know, that Nick Saban tree. Hey, we're going to play man, and we're going to play man all day. And you either beat us or you don't. I think that type of mindset is what you want in a corner. You know, it's kind of like quarterbacks have a short memory. Cornerbacks got to have a short memory too. I think that Jalen Braxton gives Ole Miss an opportunity to do that, what they had with Trey Amos, shut down half the field. And then, hey, you got plenty of other options to shut down the other side with Antonio Kite and Jalen Braxton. So, yeah, Jay Crawford, Braxton, and Kite give you a lot of options. And I do think the strength of this defense, I'm not going to say it's going to be the number one strength, but I think the back end is going to continue to improve and not exactly be an eyesore, if you will. The past couple of years, safety play has been up and down. I think that Ole Miss has added a lot of experience and a lot of, you know, this upperclassman discipline mindset of, hey, taking younger guys under their wing and making a difference. So you're going to see some younger guys. Like I think LD Clardy is going to play a lot. He really started to flash a lot down the stretch, but it's a very deep and old group for Ole Miss. And I mean old in a good way. So it's could very well be a strength. I think the secondary is going to be a lot of fun to watch this year.
Two guys I'm really excited about seeing. We haven't talked about them today. Taj Butler, I think he's going to see a lot of action. I think he's a tackling machine. And secondly, I don't know how good Blake Purchase is, Zach, but I'm telling you, the way he looks like he is chiseled out of stone. and looks like a big time football player. So those are two players I'm really excited to see.
Yeah, he's one of those Dick's Sporting Goods mannequins.
Yeah,
as I like to say. I mean, look, it's kind of, I think he's got the benefit of the doubt at this point, Brad. If Randall Joyner wants somebody on his defense, I think there's a pretty damn good chance that guy can play. He, you know, made a difference when he was in the game for Oregon, just didn't play a ton. That's because Dan Lanning's defense was pretty loaded. They had a deep room over there for him to navigate. But, you know, he really flashed in that first Indiana game. I think he was somebody that was going to be in line to play a lot in Eugene. But now he's at Ole Miss, and I think that it's a true – you know, it's an embarrassment of riches for Randall Joyner. I mean, he's gonna have a tough time making everybody happy over there.
They've done a terrific job recruiting, and it's the roster specifically on defense this year is absolutely stacked. We're going to take a timeout, hear from a couple of our sponsors. I'm Brad Logan. He's Zach Berry. Stick around, and then we're going to get to the upcoming commitments that Ole Miss has. They're very lengthy, and Ole Miss has been very hot on the recruiting trail. Stick around. We'll be back in just a moment.
Materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Rebels, your truck is here. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford presents the all-new Ram Rebel. It's Ram, the Rebel way. Send an unmistakable signal. Rebel, 24/7. Ram Rebel, from your friend in the car business. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford.
Come by, let's be friends. I'm Warrior Philip Hearn. Raising my family here in Mississippi, I've tried to teach my kids to help others. I learned that from my parents. And as a Mississippi lawyer, I want to help you too. If you're hurt in a traffic accident, 18-wheeler wreck, or have insurance trouble, call 601-720-3541. That's my cell. You call, I'll answer. Let's get started. Make your first call to the Hearn Law Firm today.
Bye, babe.
Let's get to work.
Advanced technology to accelerate business growth. There's more to see.
Start my weekend.
C-Spire, customer inspired.
Life is made up of moments. We care about those moments as much as you do. We are Modern Woodmen, a fraternal financial services organization. Member-owned, not stockholder-run. Since 1883, we've supported families, strengthened communities, and helped people reach their financial goals. From protection to saving to retirement planning, let us help you plan for those special moments in your life. We are Modern Woodmen of America.
Hello, friends. If you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know I'm pretty simple when it comes to clothes. Whether I'm headed to the stadium in Oxford, running around New Albany, or just trying to get through another long day, I don't need a closet full of stuff. I just want clothes that fit, hold up, and don't make me think twice. That's why I've become a fan of Quince. My Quince organic cotton t-shirt has become one of those things I reach for all the time. It's comfortable, it fits the way I like, and after plenty of washes, it still looks new. Honestly, that's what surprised me the most about Quince. You expect that kind of quality from designer brands, but Quince delivers it without the designer price tag. Whether it's premium denim, tailored chinos starting at just $60, or even bedding, cookware, and travel gear, Quince has become one of my go-to brands because I know what I'm getting every time. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're getting premium materials for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/TOC. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's Quince, Quince.com/TOC.
And we're grateful for all of our sponsors that help make all of the content today possible. A special thank you to Shed Hunger of Modern Woodmen of America. He can help you plan for life using a variety of tools, including life insurance, annuities, mutual funds, variable annuities. Just give Shed a call today, 662-442-4723. Also, a quick announcement. We will be at the Mississippi Association for Coaches event tomorrow. So we're excited to visit with all the high school coaches in Mississippi. Men's and women's basketball, football, softball, tennis. Everybody is down there on the coast, or actually it's not on the coast, it's in Jackson. So we'll have live coverage for you from the convention. Probably going to you live around 4 o'clock tomorrow. Ben Garrett will be with me. We'll have a ton of interviews and always enjoy getting to catch up with all the high school coaches in the great state of Mississippi. Zach, I want to start kind of back where we were talking about Ole Miss was wide open in recruiting as of the last couple of months. And it all kind of starts with those big ones up top. And it is really hard to pick out the biggest recruits because Ole Miss has done such a good job. But I want to start in the state of Mississippi with Mitchell Turner and Antonio Berry. Those are two players that let me ask you this real quick before we get too far down the road. What is going on to where Ole Miss has not only put a focus on the state of Mississippi, they're beating out Mississippi State. And in large part, places that Mississippi State historically has done well in Ackerman, in Louisville, in Tupelo. What is Ole Miss doing right now that they're really, you know, kind of getting the pick of the litter when it comes to Mississippi State?
I mean, I think it's just showing the strength of the coaching staff. You know, we talk a lot about Randall Joyner, and he's earned the headlines. He's a guy that resonates. If you've ever been around Randall, it's impossible not to kind of want to go out and do something you've never done before. He's pretty inspiring when he talks. He gets you fired up. I think that ability to grab a room and completely take hold of whoever's in it is something that Randall Joyner does better than anybody. And then, you know, oh, by the way, it doesn't exactly hurt for recruiting when you've got guys in the NFL at a pretty high clip since arriving in Oxford. So that's huge with, like, Ben Jarvis Shoemaker. I mean, Randall Joyner's been recruiting him for years. Mitchell Turner, same thing. Ole Miss was patient. They kind of let him do his thing. He went out and took visits. They didn't press. You know, we obviously had all the drama with Shoemaker with Colorado. I think that whole recruitment and what unfolded, that was just a prime example of kind of how much cachet and weight Randall Joyner's name carries right now. But I mean, in state, I think you're looking at, you know, close to home. Tupelo has been a place that Ole Miss has really struggled to recruit over the years. And It's completely flipped over the last couple of years. And then, yeah, like Louisville, Ackerman, these places where, you know, typically Mississippi State towns or a Mississippi State stronghold, a place where Mississippi State's recruited well. I think that's a product of this Ole Miss staff and also just the changing of the guard with how recruiting is done now. You know, the reputation of the Grove Collective kind of, you know, you don't really need to go into detail about it. Everybody knows, whether it's high school or whether it's transfers. It's a buttoned up operation over there by Walker Jones, and they do a hell of a job. So I think it's top to bottom, Brad. I every recruit that I talk to mentions multiple staffers. It's not just a position coach and Pete Golding. I think that's been a night and day difference between Lane Kiffin's staff and Pete Golding's staff, where it's a collective team effort. It's more than just a, you know, hey, this is my position coach, this is who I talk to. No, I mean, it's everybody. I mean, you've got Kelvin Bolden, Austin Thomas. I think you've got Jai Chaudhry. I mean, these these guys that are in that recruiting office, you know, they're doing more than just breaking down film and following guys on Twitter. Like, they're a part of these recruitments. So you bring in somebody like Dante Moncrief, a guy that's from Mississippi, played at Ole Miss, played in the NFL. Terrence Metcalf, same thing. I think that that carries a lot of weight and it means a lot to players. And it's not always going to be like this, Brad, that every now and then there's a crop of kids that come out of the state, and it's not a bad thing. But sometimes kids just want to go somewhere else. They just want to get out. You know, I talked about Jonte Cook wanted to change the scenery, you know, get out of the state of Texas. I think sometimes Mississippi kids are the same way. And it can be, you know, it can be something where they're just wanting to get out and see the world, if you will. Sometimes it's, hey, I need to get away from, you know, some temptations and some things that might keep me from getting to where I want to be. So this class looks to be a prideful group that wants to stay and build something at Ole Miss after seeing what Pete Golding and the Rebels did in the college football playoff.
Zach, you would know more than anyone. It felt like this class really turned to the good after Keegan Croucher committed to Ole Miss. And once he solidified that commitment, if you will, and he became an advocate for the class, and then you start seeing names like Ben Jarvis, Shoemaker pop, and then Alvin Mosley pop the other day. Miguel Whitley is someone that I'm really excited about seeing. And then I'll be honest, Antonio Berry, you know, big, big gift for me. Antonio Berry, I've seen him play. He seems like someone that he may need that freshman year, but I think he may be a plug-and-play guy easily a sophomore year, maybe sooner than that. And it just feels like that Ole Miss has really put the emphasis on Mississippi. I'd be interested to ask, it doesn't feel like that recruits really pick Ole Miss or State when they were kind of going, they're not really going head-to-head for a lot of players right now. But when they were in their heyday, they didn't pick either school based off the Egg Bowl, but I did feel like that history proved that they were picking the school that maybe had a better longevity, had a better or a more stable coaching staff. Do you feel like that may be in Ole Miss's favor, number one, having that cohesiveness with the coaching staff and having that success on the field, something Mississippi State hasn't had in quite some time? Do you think that's helping Ole Miss and Mississippi as well?
Yeah, kids will say a lot of stuff, you know, it's about relationships. You know, it's about, you know, the offense or the defense or playing in this stadium or that stadium or the NIL package. At the end of the day, though, these kids are competitors. They want to win. Winning still matters. You know, it's no surprise that Texas Tech is recruiting like they are. I know that, you know, Cody Campbell and them are pretty flush in the collective, but Texas Tech is winning. Joey McGuire is winning. So it goes hand in hand. You know, you're going to see random guys pop here and there at different schools, you know, like a Colorado or, you know, these places that, you know, Virginia Tech with James Franklin being there. You know, the Hokies haven't really been in the limelight in a long time, but they believe in the coach that's there. They believe in, you know, the players. Still, I think at the end of the day, kids care about winning. I don't think any kid's ever going to decide between Ole Miss and Mississippi State based on a result in the Egg Bowl. But, you know, dominating the game these last couple of years, I think, has really turned things. Because it's not just winning. I mean, last year the game wasn't even close. I know Kamario Taylor did some things, and, you know, maybe there were some people that were out there, you know, sitting on some hands, maybe a little nervous. The game was never in doubt. When Ole Miss dialed it up, it was over. So I think that not just winning – those rivalry games, you know, LSU, the score didn't show it, but Ole Miss dominated the game last year. You know, those two games are important. You know, they don't play as often because of the schedule change, but, you know, Auburn, that was a game that mattered a lot on the recruiting trail for Ole Miss over the years. You're recruiting a lot of the same guys from Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia. I think that matters. So, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, NIL deals are good, you know, a little cash flow here and there for an extra visit or to shut things down, you know, sure, that helps, but winning still matters for these kids because they, at the end of the day, they're competing and they don't want to lose.
let's take a look at the high-end commits, if you will. And we've talked a lot about Mitchell Turner out of Louisville, Mississippi, Ben Jarvis Shoemaker, and that whirlwind of recruitment between Ole Miss and Colorado, but almost able to lock him down. Barry Croucher, Alvin Mosley, and Miguel Whitley. What are some things that Ole Miss fans need to know about? Anything specific about the recruits are at the top of the list?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was big for Ole Miss to hold on to Keegan Croucher. It's kind of old school recruiting, Brad, where that quarterback is important. You get a blue chip quarterback in there, it perks people's ears up. I think that was big for him to come out and address the question. You know, he took some visits, he listened, he wanted to hear what everybody had to say, but I think at the end of the day, he was just kind of doing his due diligence, doing his homework. He wanted to stay with Ole Miss. He wanted to stay with Joe Judge. The family met with John David Baker. They believe with, you know, with what he's wanting to do, how he sees Croucher's career and how he sees his development. So Ole Miss really, you know, checked all the boxes there. And I think that that's important for a guy like him that is banking on playing it, you know, at a Power Four level and getting to the NFL. Joe Judge knows how to get people there. Trinidad Chambliss, obviously, you know, what he did last year with the help of Joe Judge. You know, Charlie Weiss Jr. played a role. There's no doubt about that. But Judge was the guy in that recruitment, and he got him to stay. And I think that that's going to be something that's going to really pay dividends down the line, not just in recruiting, but in the development of this program as it looks to stay in that top tier. I do think the two wide receivers that you see right there, Alvin Mosley, Miguel Whitley, two phenomenal athletes. I know people are kind of, you know, groveling a little bit about, you know, Frank Wilson and, you know, well, he's not going into Louisiana and getting, you know, this and this. He's not, but Miguel Whitley is a big get. At St. Augustine, that's a place that recruits LSU kind of, you know, it recruits itself with St. Augustine. Kids go there. You know, pretty much anybody that's at St. Aug is going to go to LSU if LSU has an offer for him. Ole Miss went head-to-head with LSU and got Miguel Whitley. Alvin Mosley is a guy that Texas really wanted, Houston really wanted, Arkansas made a late run. He's a two-sport guy that could probably play college basketball in a lot of places if he wanted to. Those are two high-end wide receivers that, you know, those aren't guaranteed every class. Those were, you know, national recruitments, New Orleans, and then outside Houston, Texas. So huge, huge gets right there for LaDainian Washington in his first year on staff. And then I mentioned Dante Moncrief earlier. Patrick Carter also deserves a ton of credit. He's someone that's been on the staff a couple of years now. He was important in the playoff run, and he's another guy that continues to, you know, prove his worth on the recruiting trail.
Taking a look at the next level of recruits, and I think, Zach, you said it perfectly, the most four-star recruits committed to Ole Miss, I think, in program history. And as we see on the screen here, Antonio Kiefer, Jeremiah Cooper, Taylen Mayo, Keshawn Taylor, Antoine Jackson, and Jamarcus Pittman. The one that jumps out to me is obviously Antoine Jackson, but I like Antonio Kiefer a lot, the interior offensive lineman. Once again, another key component of this recruiting class, a lot of interior talent on the defense and offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think you're going to probably pick your head up here in a couple of years. And Antonio Kiefer, you know, I don't know, might be Mr. Ole Miss. I think he's going to be somebody that is going to be on and off the field type guy. He's going to be someone that's in the community. He's making a difference. Everybody I spoke to in Memphis absolutely raved about the kid. I told his mom when he committed that I kind of had to steer the conversation with guys in Memphis because they didn't want to talk about him as a football player. They just wanted to talk about him as a person. I mean, a top-notch kid that I think is gonna carry that room for the next couple of years. He will be a difference maker, in my opinion. You know, Jeremiah Culpepper was a guy that just kind of popped up out of nowhere, but a four-star get out of the state of Georgia, plays linebacker, kind of a sneaky – good run here that Ole Miss is on in Georgia for linebackers. And then you can't say enough about Taylen Mayo, Keyshawn Taylor, two national recruitments. You know, Ole Miss going up in the Chicagoland area has been, you know, kind of a trend where Jake Schoonover knows a lot of people in the state of Illinois. He knows a lot of people around that Chicago area. and you know, you go and get somebody like a Carmelo Reed last cycle, and then you get a Keyshawn Taylor, a guy that I think is someone that has two-way potential, but they really like his skill set on the defensive side. But he'll go out there on Friday nights and we'll go, you know, put it on somebody's head in the end zone, you know, on a fade route, because he's just that athletic. Antoine Jackson, a guy that I think is someone that is a hell of a piece of clay to mold. You don't teach 6'6", 240. I think that's a big piece. And then Jamarcus Pittman kind of gets lost in the shuffle because he committed so early. But he's an absolute just anchor for your defensive line. He does a little bit of everything for Moss there in Memphis. He plays both ways, but just an absolute mammoth of a young man. I think that that's going to be somebody to come in next, you know, behind Will Eccles, Jayhan Brown on the interior, that can really make a difference. So it's a hell of a group. 14, four stars, most all time. And I think they're going to continue to add a couple more pieces there. I think that number could grow in the next couple months.
You look at one of the recent commits, Marvin, help me out with that, Zach.
Nguetsup.
That's it. Another four-star piece for Ole Miss. And then you dip into some really talented three stars that a lot of some major programs wanted. Elijah Cox out of Georgia. The edge is a really big-time player. Mason Moore, David Parson, Trayvon Hall, and Juez Batiste. And you know, you look at some of these players that may be a three-star player, but I think in large part, some of these players may be overshadowed because of the high level of stars that Ole Miss has committed.
Yeah, I do think there's a chance for some of these guys to get bumped up in the next rankings update. Somebody I've heard a lot about, Trayvon Hall, just kind of a do-it-all gadget guy for Central in Tuscaloosa. I think he has a chance to get bumped up and maybe get a four-star. He's a phenomenal athlete. He does special teams. He plays offense, defense. Sometimes that can hurt guys, I think, where you don't specialize on one side of the ball or specialize in one position, but Ole Miss values that. They value that versatility. You see a lot of two-way guys in this commitment list. In Nguetsup, though, I mean, we buried the lead a little bit here. This is the lottery ticket that you need, right, in recruiting. Kid that's originally from Germany, hasn't played a lot of football, but you talk about can't teach in things. 6'7", 275, got invited to the U.S. All-American game last year as an underclassman, flashed a lot in practice. He's kind of one of those, when he puts it all together, he's going to be a problem off the edge, just because the frame is there. And I think the mindset is key here. A kid that's very, very knowledgeable of the game, even though he hasn't played a lot, he's kind of made it, you know, kind of, you know, next to his studies at St. Thomas More. I mean, he's a student of the game. I heard somebody tell me that he's a sponge. He asks a ton of questions. He wants to be great. And I think that when it's all said and done, Randall Joyner's going to get him where he needs to go. You mentioned Elijah Cox, you know, the recent commit. Clemson, Mississippi State wanted him. He was a guy that I was told jumped off the page for Ole Miss on his visit. In-person interview, both Pete Golding and Randall Joyner raved about him, loved the meeting they had with him, just kind of, you know, who he is as a player, who he is as a person. I think that he's somebody that, you know, you can get in at 230, 235 pounds, and, you know, by sophomore year, he's about 255, 260, and can do a little bit of both, a little bit of Tavius Robinson vibes there, where he can slide inside if you need him to, because of, you know, quick first step, athlete, length, but then he can also come off the edge.
And, you know, we've kind of looked through all of these different recruits today, and you know, we've talked about it a lot. They are just committed, and they are not signed on the dotted line.
Sure, yeah.
In your opinion, Zach, and obviously we don't know. Once again, we're asking questions that if we knew the answer to them, certainly we wouldn't be doing a podcast on a random afternoon. What does Ole Miss have to do to keep these players committed and to sign on that dotted line? And what fear is there of a program kind of laying in the weeds, coming in at the 11th hour and swaying some of these players? What is Ole Miss going to have to do from a coaching standpoint? because there are a lot of players. We talked about the four-star players. It's the most four-stars Ole Miss has ever had committed in the history of the program. Ole Miss has done a really good job this year of going after high school players, trying to build that foundation, starting from the ground up, starting on that offensive defensive line. What are the Rebels going to do to have to finish that, to cross the finish line successfully?
I just think staff just has to just do what they've been doing, just be themselves. There's been several guys that have mentioned that where Ole Miss didn't push. They told them, like, hey, go take your visits. Like, go out and see different places, see different staffs, meet people. You know, go have some experiences. This is not a staff that's going to, you know, hotbox a kid. They're not going to press. They're going to be honest. They're going to be transparent. And I think that's paid off top to bottom too. I mean, from Keegan Croucher, from Mitchell Turner, all the way down to Mason Moore and to Elijah Cox and, you know, Cruz Jenkins. I mean, it's not just the highly ranked guys. It's everybody. There's a method to the madness here, and guys are being taken because Ole Miss thinks that they're worthy of playing in the SEC. They're capable. They're not going to look at star ratings. They're not going to care about the rankings. They're not going to care about, you know, a top 10 class. This is just a staff that, you know, at the end of the day, that job is dictated by the scoreboard. So they're going to go and get guys that they think can play and can win games. So I don't think there's anything that Ole Miss needs to, you know, necessarily do. You know, maybe to kind of flip your question there, I think it's more so just kind of sticking to the plan and just being honest. And I think that the kids are going to respond to that. And I think the kids that Ole Miss wants to have in the program are going to respond in the right way.
What, in your opinion, has Ole Miss at the next level in recruiting right now? We know the history of Pete Golding under Nick Saban, worked alongside Kirby Smart, worked alongside Lane Kiffin. Is there a hidden element to why Ole Miss is succeeding so much on the recruiting trail in the high school ranks? Is there anything that maybe we're not hearing from the general public? Is there anything on the inside you believe that's giving Ole Miss this little bit added extra success on the high school recruiting ranks?
Yeah, I mean, I think I just kind of answered it just with the honesty. But, I mean, it's a young staff, a lot of energy. I think the players respond to that. I think families respond to that as well. There's a lot of belief. And I mean, you look at the recruitment of David Gabriel George, it wouldn't be a recruiting pod, here at Talk of Champions if we don't talk about DGG, but I mean, there's a reason Ole Miss continues to be mentioned in that recruitment, and because it's real, honesty. The staff is not gonna, they're not gonna throw out some Hail Mary or, you know, put any, you know, false promises out there, or empty promises. They're going to be real with players. And I think that a player of DGG's caliber is very aware of that. And I think that that's why Ole Miss is in that final three. I think he's going to go to Ohio State, or at least commit there. I don't know where he's going to sign. A lot can change by the time December gets here. But, you know, there's a reason why he likes Ole Miss. And I think it's because of just the long-running relationship he has with Jake Schoonover, but also the realness of this staff. I keep using transparent and honest, and I mean, I think that's a real thing. Pete Golding is a guy that's not gonna bullshit you. I mean, he's gonna shoot you straight. He's gonna keep it real, and I think that's a big reason why Ole Miss is really resonating with players on the trail.
Before we get out of here today, any chance that we hear Caden Moss's name sign with Ole Miss come signing day? I know right now a lot of disappointed Rebels whenever he committed to Ohio State. Is the door cracked at least for Caden Moss, a talented offensive lineman from Jackson Academy? Quite honestly, one of the best players in the state of Mississippi.
Yeah, I was there. He didn't completely close the door. I mean, I think that Ole Miss is going to continue to recruit him. You know, that's one of those where – when it's all said and done, it's gonna come down to a business decision. But I mean, he raved about the relationship he has with the staff at Ohio State, and you know, he said the same about Ole Miss. I just think it came to a fit thing with him. You know, maybe seeing himself playing at Ohio State, the particular fit that he was looking for, that was the reason why he picked Ohio State. You know, you can't make the excuse about money because everybody's getting paid. It's out there. You know, we don't need to do that. We don't need to make excuses. I think it was just kind of one of those old-fashioned recruitments where, you know, in the summer a commitment was made, but Ole Miss is going to continue to recruit him. I'm not going to say I'm going to rule it out, but I think whether it's Ole Miss or LSU or Kentucky, whoever is going to try to flip him is going to have to bring a lunch pail. It's going to be a tough one.
Zach Berry does a terrific job covering recruiting for the Ole Miss Spirit and also the On3 Recruiting Network. You can follow all of his work at the Ole Miss Spirit. That's omspirit.com. That's an affiliate of On3. Hit that code right there above me, the QR code. $1 will get you into the Ole Miss Spirit, where right now it is popping with recruiting, with all types of content. Jake Thompson does a terrific job covering the beat along with Ben Garrett and Chuck Roundsville. You can catch Zach Berry's work there as well. You can follow Zach on socials at Zach_Berry. Zach, thanks very much for jumping on. Great content today, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Brad. Appreciate it.
Zach Berry does a terrific job covering recruiting for Ole Miss and the Ole Miss Spirit, and covering exclusively the Ole Miss Rebels. And it does branch out and do some other teams, but he's the one that's been locked in, and Zach does a terrific job covering recruiting. We're so grateful to have him on the Talk of Champions. We're also very grateful for all of you that joined us. Be sure and tell a friend. You can live stream, watch all of our live streams all across the Talk of Champions platform. You can follow us on X at Ole Miss TOC. That's where we'll catch all things Talk of Champions, where Ben Garrett and I both kind of hang out and bring you wall-to-wall information in regards to Ole Miss.